Hello, everyone, and welcome to Divine Manifesting. This is Rebecca Grotto, and today we have someone really special with us, and we also are missing somebody very special. Christy, unfortunately, is stuck in the Midwest somewhere. She was flying, you know, from here to there. I don't know what she was up to. I think a speaking engagement, and plane flights as they are. She got delayed, so she asked me to tell everyone she's so sorry and looks forward to being back with everyone next week. So we wish her well. I know, bless her heart, she's probably somewhere frustrated wishing she were here on this call today. But we do have somebody very special for everyone who was listening in last week. You remember Joffrey from Enlightened Beings, and oh my gosh, we were just in the middle of getting some really great, juicy information when the power went out. So anybody who was with us last week, you were all probably, as I was, going, no, I need this answer. And so we invited him back this week, and oh my gosh, he's so gracious and so flexible and patient with everything. And so he's back. So welcome, Joffrey.
Thank you.
So thrilled that you're back on again.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Oh, my goodness. It was such great information. So how are you doing?
Fabulous.
Good.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And you?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, back at you. I'll tell you what. I just don't know that I could be doing better. I'm open to the possibility, but I just am feeling so great. I think it was last couple weeks ago I finished up a whole series of light body tapes and workshops. So that was awesome. And then last Sunday I was at the AMA Center in Castro Valley and spent a whole day doing yoga and meditation, and that was just incredible. You can feel Amaji's energy everywhere. It was just so beautiful. And then last night, I went up to the Awakening Retreat Center and got to do a whole meditation session with Sai Ma.
Oh, wow.
So I just feel like I'm just riding this incredible wave of light. Mm. And I'm giggling to myself because one of the things you said last week is the universe rewards us with little gifts. Mm. And so I keep feeling like, boy, I'm just so being gifted for doing something well. I don't know what it is, but I'm feeling really, really just like I'm just being, blessed with all these gifts. So I'm
doing
really, really.
You know, I'm finding that's really interesting is that there's some gifts that we are receiving from the universe that we don't necessarily appreciate, like things that, like problems, issues that aren't necessarily going the way that our ego wants life to go, sometimes relationships.
Right.
And so there's this whole aspect of not appreciating the rewards that the universe is offering, that we're just not always seeing the blessing in disguise.
Exactly.
So
it's being open to it all.
Well, yeah, and it's also understanding that the universe doesn't make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
That any time that we're raising our manifesting vibration, we're going to be attracting something that is on a higher frequency that is going to bring us to a higher consciousness, to a higher level of seeing the world or the bigger picture. And sometimes it entails letting go of old belief systems and old relationships and things that aren't working for you and moving into a higher relationship with either the same person or a different person.
Right.
So there's a whole new level of consciousness that is accessed when we can open up ourselves to whatever a problem or issue or stuckness in our life and see it as this reward.
Yes.
You know, as a gift in disguise that is trying to help us, you know, kind of crack the clam open and find the pearl.
Exactly. You know, I always use this image with people that if our desire is to have this really well-organized and wonderful garage, sometimes we have to get everything out, and then there's that moment where everything's laying in the driveway and we're in that kind of, you know, oh, God moment. What have I done?
Right.
If we can see beyond that, this is really good because just guess what you're going to get, you know, guess what is, you're going to get that desire,
right,
that intention. And so, yeah, there's those little moments of, oh, no, what have I done? It's all falling apart. Look
right.
at the mess I've made. And but it's not, like you said, it's a gift. It's not a mess. You're
mm-hmm.
just in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're actually moving towards exactly what you need to do. So sometimes it looks messy, but from one perspective, but from another perspective, it's such a blessing. So,
yeah.
Well, for all the listeners who may not have been on the show last week, Joffrey, would you mind introducing yourself and maybe giving, I mean, you painted such a great, great picture last week of who you are and where you had traveled and how you got to where you are today. And well, I'm hoping I'm not imposing, but I was wondering if you might want to just introduce yourself briefly and let the listeners know who you are.
Okay.
Well,
I started a web portal about 7 years ago called enlightenedbeings.com. And I just started, it looked like a third grader's website, and then I asked the universe, I just spoke to the universe directly and said, you know, I'd really like this to get out to the world more and, you know, and look a little bit more professional, more fun, or have more of that enlightening feel to it. And within a few weeks, out of the blue, literally out of the blue, somebody emailed me this entire website, which back in 2000 was... Yeah, it was like, 10 or 15 pages. And now the website's, I think, up to 400 pages long. It's really grown. And so she just emailed this out of the blue. And I realized that the universe is really listening.
Mm.
And, you know, it's always there attuning itself to our thoughts. And there's no separation. You know, we have this idea that we're separate from the universe on some level. And really the truth is that's just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
that the very core of our being, our DNA and cells are in the ocean of existence.
Right.
We're one with the ocean. So all this has come to me through time, through traveling. I spent, I've been to India 3 different times. The second time I was in India, I went to a little town called Bodh Gaya. And that's where Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree and attained his enlightenment after 7 years of searching and searching and searching and not finding and just finding a lot of suffering. And as you know, Buddha was a king that, you know, took away his throne and came down to the to find out what doesn't die,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sitting under this Bodhi tree where he was sitting and things started to happen. Things started to actually open up for me. And this is not just because of the tree. This is after many years of meditation and looking inside and sitting with different teachers and gurus and whatnot. And something came to me that it was just incredibly profound, that there was this, it comes back to the sense of that there is no separation between you and the outer world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to test this and start to really be conscious and focused on it. And when you're in India, everything is... It's very slow, it's very simple, so you can really kind of relax and just really focus your attention on one thing. And I found out that that's where all the power comes from, is being able to focus your attention on one thing for a certain amount of time, whether it's 2 minutes or 17 seconds or however. That energy starts to flow there. So I started to play with it, and I found myself doing some kind of miraculous things. For instance, and I'm not saying that this is anything like truly a miracle, because, you know, all miracles are kind of scientific, they're scientifically proven,
mm-hmm.
that through thoughts or things, and we're manifesting beings by nature, and so we're attracting things. But, you know, I would just look out into this field of cows that were, you know, probably 200 or 300 yards away, and I would just look at one cow and I would just say, you know, come here, I want to connect with you. And sure enough, after about 10 minutes, that one cow mm-hmm. would walk all the way across the field to see me.
Mm.
And sit near me. And I was just like, wow, you know, it's like nature is really listening. It's really attuned. And so I took it to the next level, and I remember focusing on the clouds in the sky and just imagining that these clouds were going to form a donut around the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, you know, there was, you know, totally blue sky except for one cloud that
mm-hmm.
moved into this donut shape and then just moved right where the sun came right through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, it's really too coincidental,
right.
You know, that all these things start happening and there's such a feeling of oneness with the universe that whatever we put our attention on is where molecules or atoms flow, and things start to manifest, whatever it is that we're visualizing and feeling. And so I started to build this into my way of living life, and that's where enlightenedbeings.com started to evolve, is just from all the different experiences and people that I've met along the way that I call enlightened beings or have had experience of enlightenment, either just an epiphany or a satori or a samadhi. And there was, going even further back in 1995, I met a teacher who named Papaji, who completely obliterated who I believe myself to be, who I thought myself was, and just unraveled all of this conditioning in an instant. And it felt like an atomic bomb went off inside my body and my mind, just completely boom. And there was this silence afterwards that went on for days and weeks. I mean, it was a very deep silence that didn't, where there was no me left. There was just this deep silence left of who I was. And from that moment on, there was just this recognition of this constant awareness of self, of the God self, the connection to that divine self that we all are. And there was a constant release of the belief in separation from that, you know, was conditioned from childhood or religion growing up, just, you know, all the conditioning from schools and whatnot of that, you know, you're separate from this God self. And not direct conditioning, but just sort of unconscious conditioning. Mm-hmm. You know, like TV and media, they say you need this to be happy and you need that to be happy. And they're not really pointing at the God self, that you are the God self at all. So all of that conditioning got unraveled very quickly. And I'd also say that I don't believe that it would have necessarily happened if I didn't sort of prepare the engine or pump up the fuel line for it after many years of just introspection and meditation and studying different teachings and masters.
Right, you were ready. You were ready for it.
Exactly. It's kind of like popping popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just don't put it on high heat and then it just pops instantly. You got to let it sit in the oil for a while.
Right.
And then it explodes.
That's a good analogy. Yeah, that's a good analogy.
And what's interesting is, like, when one pops, all the other popcorns tend to pop around it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has this explosive property. And so
right.
I noticed, like, other people would start to have more of these enlightening experiences when I'd connect with them and talk about it and focus their life on it. And so that's when I started getting into coaching and doing manifesting sessions with people where I'd teach them how to bring their mind into a one single track focus on what they want. And so it laser through all that negative doubt and disbelief and all of that repression of that part that knows that it's the God self.
Do you think there's, you know, one or two obstacles, you know, one or two particular obstacles that we as humans tend to bump up against? I mean, you said the word doubt, and I just don't know if there's any more, you know, paralyzing emotion or experience that tends to shut us down and stop the flow of you know, abundance. But you use the word doubt, and I'm just wondering, in your experiences, can you identify one or two things that we tend to hold within ourselves? I mean, you brought up a couple things as you were talking. I thought that single focus in manifesting is key, holding it. And you said, you know, what I was drawn to is you said, you know, that cow didn't instantly come to you. It took about 10 minutes of single focus, holding it. You didn't give up right away. You didn't say, okay, this doesn't work, or, you know, the cow's not listening. You really had to hold that focus for a while. But the other thing I heard you say is that lack of sense of separation, and I see this in so many of the people I work with, is that, and myself included, there are so many times where I don't feel supported by the universe. I don't feel, and I'm not allowing it. It's the universe is supporting me. The people around me are desperately trying to support me, but I'm not allowing them to. And my entire belief structure is based on nobody's there for me, who's going to help me, I help all these other people, and boy, that victim story just takes off. So I'm wondering, you know, I know it sounds like those are two very key elements to manifesting.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there's others, but I also, you know, want to come back to that question of, do you see people tending to have tendencies or leaning towards certain things that sort of stuff us all up and stop the process?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing is that all suffering originates from this belief in separation,
mm-hmm.
from the ignorance
mm-hmm.
of your God self.
Right.
So it's just all suffering starts with ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
And once that ignorance is dispelled, then it's like the sky's clear. And all of a sudden, there's all this realm of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you can still have, I mean, most people will still have these layers of either confusion or doubt or fear or negative thinking patterns or habits that they've
mm-hmm.
been in for years
mm-hmm.
that just say, no, it's not possible.
Right.
Even though there's an unlimited sky above me, there's no end to the sky above me, that I don't believe it's possible that there's no end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe that there's some negative thought in there that stops them from believing that anything is possible.
Right.
So I would say that's one of the most important things to focus on, is that feeling of that thought of anything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then you start to move into something I call unstoppable love, where you start to get in touch with a passion for your dream and passion for what you want. And from that place, you know, all the fear and doubt and low self-esteem and all those things that stop us in life and relationships and career and money and everything, that all that just dissolves, because it's, you know, we're not putting our attention on it anymore. We're putting our attention on what we want, so what we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I would say that probably the two things I find with people that it keeps coming up again and again and again, that where people feel blocked, is basically the fear, the
mm-hmm.
fear that they can't have what they want in life.
Mm-hmm.
They put a lot of attention on that fear. And also, it'd probably be the second one would be more along the lack of love, which goes in right in alignment with fear, but there's not like a passion for what they want. There's kind of been stomped on so many times as a child and said, no, 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 you can't have this. No, 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 that's too hard or whatever. And so there's not this excitement and this passion.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like fear, but it's not the same quality. It's kind
right.
of like
almost apathy.
Yeah, apathy or something like that.
Yeah.
And so, but you'll find, I mean, there's everybody's different, and so that everybody has a different kind of key trigger where they get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say to
right.
generalize.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And what would you recommend when somebody comes to you, and that was the question Christy was asking last week when we all got cut off, is, so what happens when we find ourselves in that funk and we recognize we're there? Many of us do. You know, we are at least aware enough to know that we're in this funk.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you recommend to people? You know, because for many of us, we recognize we're, you know, there, and we recognize how important it is to get out of that and get back into that space of unstoppable love and unlimited possibilities. But what happens if your mind is just not taking you there? Or, you know, is there something you can offer to help, you know, make
yeah.
that shift? Good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
The first thing I would say is welcoming,
mm-hmm.
is become a welcome-aholic.
Uh-huh.
And you simply welcome whatever experience
yeah.
is inside you.
Uh-huh.
And if it's an experience of fear or doubt or negativity of any level, you know, the ego is going to resist it.
Right.
And so it's about welcoming that resistance first and saying yes to whatever it is that's stopping me from that. And the second aspect to that is to really getting into it, like really allowing yourself to go to the core of it.
Mm-hmm.
And to get to the core of any feeling, you got to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stop everything. You got to stop going forward with your agenda in your
mm-hmm.
day, in your relationships, with your life, and who you think you are,
mm-hmm.
and just come to a place of stillness.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what all the great teachers say throughout the ages, you know, is to realize the self. There's only one thing needed, is to find the stillness.
Right.
And once that stillness is recognized, because it's not like you have to create it. It's already here now,
mm-hmm.
right? It's just mm-hmm. it's just seeing what's already has always been quiet and calm and still at the core. You know, at the very core of every cyclone or galaxy, you know, there's this pinpoint in the middle that it all revolves around, and that's the point of stillness. And so to find that within your own mind, because your mind is always revolving around different things and mm-hmm. topics and thinking.
Right.
So let's find the stillness in all that.
Find the eye of the storm.
Find the eye of the storm, exactly. So
yeah.
within that eye of the storm, you can actually have the power to embrace whatever negative thinking or habit mm-hmm. or negative feeling mm-hmm. that you've been fighting your whole life.
Right. Well, I think just by definition, the minute you find the eye of the storm, you are no longer the problem.
Yeah.
You're the one addressing the problem.
Right.
And then because you're the one addressing the problem and you're not the problem, it no longer becomes a problem.
Right.
It's just the thing that needs to be addressed. As you were, I'm so visual, and as you were saying that, I thought, you know, how many times we've all been there as parents, you know, how many times have we seen this happen in a grocery store or wherever we are, that a child will just start to freak out because they want something. And
mm-hmm.
that will just grow with intensity if the parent is ignoring them.
Mm-hmm.
They're just resisting them. It's like, I wish they would just be quiet. And the more that they try to go, you know, through clenched teeth, you need to stop, the child just will just, oh, my gosh, explode.
Mm.
And so often as a parent, you know, I used to remember, if you just stop, stop doing what you're doing. Stop making, getting through the checkout line or wherever you are. More important, just stop. Look that child in the eye and go, what is it that you need, my love? What is it that you want?
Yeah.
And then they calm right down. It's like, I want this candy. Now, whether you're going to give it to them or not is inconsequential. If they're heard, sweetheart, you can't have that right now. It's, you know, we'll maybe save it for after dinner, or, you know, we don't eat this stuff, but I'll get you something. You know, whatever it is, if they're respected and addressed, it's like the whole energy just calms right down. And I'm thinking, you know, as you were talking, that's so what our emotions are like. When we're resisting them, when we're not listening to that thing, they just become bigger and bigger and bigger. And
mm-hmm.
if we were to just, like you said, stop.
Yeah.
And just go, my love, what is it?
Yeah.
What's going on there? What's happening, honey?
Yeah.
You know, they would probably just dissipate, and
yeah.
you know, and or they would sit for a while, but it would be okay. It's like, you know, the problem is being addressed respectfully, and I just feel that, whether it's with our children, that respect that we give them to say, you are worth listening to. I hear you have a need. What is that? And that is, you know, the same is with us, with whatever is going on. You know,
yeah.
we respect ourselves enough to say, this is a gift, like you were saying earlier. This is a gift. What is this gift trying to say to me? As annoying and irritating as it may feel right now,
right.
but it's a gift. So what
right.
is it trying to tell me? And I don't know, for myself, when I'm really in those mindful places of being respectful, carving out the time to say, let me really look at this, it's usually, it brings me to tears, because there's this poor, precious part of myself that has had to be obnoxious trying to get my attention, and it really only wanted to tell me something very important. So,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, maybe using that as an example, that was so good, that we really do deserve stopping and treating ourselves with that profound respect we would hopefully treat our children with,
mm-hmm.
you know? So
mm-hmm.
I think we deserve that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's our
yeah.
birthright.
Yeah.
We don't have to do anything either to deserve it.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of people that think, well, you know, I've got to do so many prostrations or have so much forgiveness before I can forgive myself, or do X, Y, and Z before I can forgive myself. And it's like, no, you can
mm-hmm.
just let go.
Mm-hmm.
You can just dive into that stillness now,
right?
And take that little terrible 2-year-old child inside yours and just give them a big hug,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And find the blessing in what they're trying to ask for. Yeah. So you're
mm-hmm.
saying, again, get into the eye of the storm, get into the stillness, and things will then begin to dissipate. So
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And to get there, you know, it takes. Sometimes it takes catharting. You know, it takes really getting emotional. And, some people, I find, I've done thousands of coaching sessions, and I find that most of these people that I work with have trouble really allowing themselves to feel what's going on inside their body, because sometimes it's traumatic, and or something from the past has been traumatic, or there's some resistance to, really letting themselves relax in their body because there's so much stress and craziness in the world. And so the outer world in some way reflects the inner world, and so it's a scary thing to just dive into oneself and to just trust what you find.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, all these teachers that I've met through the years have really helped. It's just there's a sense of just letting go of all identity around who you are that would be resisting going into oneself or resisting whatever you want to manifest in your life or whatever maybe you're afraid you're going to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's a part of you that is still the ego that's saying, well, I'm going to experience pain. Well, who's this I?
Right.
Who's this identity?
Right.
You know, that's afraid. And to really investigate that.
And that
core
can be very scary. I, too, work with a lot of people who have had very traumatic things happen in their childhood, and they say, if I go there, I feel like I'm going to die. If I really experience some of the places that you're, encouraging me to visit, I feel like I'm going to die. And I think the message is really, you're going to be fine. I always say to people, you have such great intact defense mechanisms. You're here in this moment, and you're sane. So there's something within you that has already been protecting you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not, there's no place you're going to go that you're again, we're coming back to that place of feeling so supported. You will be supported, through your own mind and through your guides, and you will be supported. And so, but it is, I do want to acknowledge for those listening, it is really scary at times. When we've been repressing something for so long, it can feel, so daunting to try to go in there. But again, it's through that grace of feeling those emotions and recognizing that we're not our emotions.
Right.
They're not going to overtake us. Truly, they're not going to overtake us. They, like you said, we may feel catharsis, a feeling of just like such intense relief, but they're not going to overtake us. And going through them sort of purifies them and washes them, and then you get to use those emotions that have been shut out and shut down. Christy and I talk a lot on this show about really getting touch with your emotions and using them as that guidance system. And, and I know Esther and Jerry Hicks have their new book out, The Astonishing Power of Emotions, and I can't wait to dive into that book. But, I think it's just so, I think they're such a valuable tool to be able to have and to embrace them.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, so many of us kind of push them away, and we don't use that guidance system and that protection even.
Mm-hmm.
They direct us, they protect us, they nurture us, they care for us, and, for so many, they're just locked away. And so you can't feel supported in life if you're not listening to that guide. So I'm so happy to hear that you really help people in your coaching to get back in touch with their feelings.
Yeah, and, the key, the backbone to manifesting, because, this is about really moving into a place of realizing that you're manifesting everything in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So the relationship that you have at home, you manifested that.
Exactly.
Okay, that you're totally 100% responsible for what is happening at home.
Mm-hmm.
And to really, to take full accountability, to say, it's my response that I have with him or her at home that is creating this reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Within myself,
right?
So that there's no blaming, there's no finger pointing. There's just you're saying, okay, what is the response that I most want to have in this relationship? And you'll see that in 9 times out of 10, the response you most want to have is a state of appreciation,
mm-hmm.
a state of gratitude
mm-hmm.
for just saying thank you for this person for being in your life,
right?
For whatever mirror that they are for you.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever issues that they're helping you to bring up in yourself or you to get to know yourself more closely so that you can go into a different a higher state of consciousness or to move through blocks from your dad or your mom or whoever, grandpa, that has sort of, you know, pinpointed you as being somebody who's a certain way. And so that you can break out of that and to become, basically what you do is you raise your manifesting vibration
right.
by moving through your issues. And so
mm-hmm.
you can actually attract your desires much easier and faster.
Absolutely. And, you know, the bottom line is it's really difficult, especially when you're talking about being so focused. In order to manifest, you have to be, I'm really getting this from you today, Joffrey, that you have to be so 100% focused on that which you want. It's really difficult to be focused on what you want when you're the one allowing all the dramas to keep sort of taking center stage in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, boy, it's like there you can't blame anybody but yourself on that.
Well, and that's where it comes into play of just really realizing that you're the watcher here.
Yeah.
You're the one behind it all that is watching the play unfold on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And that realizing that you're all of the actors.
Right.
On the stage.
Yes.
You know, that you're not separate from any
uh-huh.
of these actors or
uh-huh.
actresses.
Yeah. And there are no enemies. That's the great thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are no enemies. There's just those playing a role. But they're, you know, to really take that step of, you know, I've been working on this lately, purifying my mind and really catching when I want to make somebody my enemy.
Mm.
They did it to me, and it's like, there are no enemies. There's just other people innocently doing their thing and playing their part, and like you said, seeing that this is all just a projection of my mind.
Mm.
My mind wants to create an enemy. Okay, you can create an antagonist, or you can create a protagonist. It's
yeah.
up to you, you know, but there are no enemies unless, you know, except for what I'm projecting out there, and so really purifying my mind and watching where, you know, my mind wants to create these dramas. And sometimes it's like, are you really that bored in your life where you just,
yeah.
you just, I think it's time for a big drama. You know, and sometimes just challenging myself in that way, tongue in cheek. It's like, are you really getting that bored, Rebecca? Perhaps you need to meditate. You know, because I'm really starting to just churn up this huge drama, you know. And
yeah.
But
I want to get back to what you said earlier about how we manifest is through staying focused. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't want people to be misled about, okay, you got to sit and, you know, for 10, 15 minutes and just hold your attention on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then after you're done with that, then you have to keep focusing on it all day long and all night long and work and work and work and effort.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
because
not
what
effort.
That, what, well, all that efforting says to the universe is that you don't believe that it's just going to show up.
Uh-huh.
Easily and effortlessly.
Uh-huh.
And so what we propose is a very quick routine you do in the morning where you open up your whole, we'll call it your chakra system, all the energy centers in your body, to feeling this connection with what you want as if it's already happened.
Uh-huh.
And from that place, there's an effortlessness that the universe just delivers it. And so you don't have to focus so much. There's not so much efforting. It's more about just knowing that the universe is attuned to you and listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you send out a request from a place of being connected to the universe versus from a place of being desperate, then there's a sense of confidence and knowing that it's
right.
it's on its way.
Right.
So there's not so much work involved in manifesting as most people would think, that it's much easier
uh-huh.
than you think, that everything everything you've got in your life so far, you've manifested it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there are probably a lot of, most of the stuff is stuff that you didn't really work hard for, that just kind of
right.
showed up.
Uh-huh.
So it's looking at that, the whole aspect from that angle of just the effortlessness behind it all.
Right.
Because it doesn't take much effort for that flower to bloom or the grass to grow or the tree, you know, to take root. It's just very slow and natural and happens
mm-hmm.
on its own accord. And that's just, we are just connected on the deepest levels to nature. So why wouldn't it naturally just unfold for us whatever our heart's desire is?
Right. It's really coming down to believing that it's possible and it's ours
mm-hmm.
for the asking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking the other day, too, you know, it's like, you know, the times in my life where things have just literally come to my front door. I mean, I remember one job situation literally came to my front door. Somebody came to my door
mm-hmm.
and brought me, you know, it was a grandfather of one of my son's little playmates, and you know, after all these years of knowing this man down the street, he comes to pick up his granddaughter, and he's like, by the way, what do you do? And I just laughed, and I told him I was a therapist, and I had just, you know, I think it was just a couple weeks before, I had just finished having my daughter, and she was about a year old, and I was thinking, you know, I really need to start beefing up and getting back to work and really getting things going, And after all these years, like I said, he comes to the door and he's like, by the way, what do you do? And I said, I'm a therapist. And he says, I happen to be on the, you know, board of directors of this counseling agency, and we're looking for a supervisor. You should go interview.
Mm.
And I did, and I got the job, and it was just like, I just laughed to myself because I thought, you're really getting good. you it's just coming to you. So the other day I was thinking to myself, you know, I remember where it was just, there's so many times in my life it's been just that easy. And what was the connecting factor? What was the common denominator? And really what it was I was so happy in my life.
Mm.
It was those moments where I put out a thought of what I wanted, what I desired. And then I went about the business of just really being happy and grateful. And I was enjoying my life. I had, you know, this beautiful little girl and this great little boy, and that just life was so juicy, or whatever points in my life. If I really look back, the thread was, in that moment, I wasn't hungering, like you said, I wasn't desperate for I have to have this in order to be happy.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't there. I wasn't desperately trying to manifest something. I was just thinking, this would be great. And then I went about the business of being so happy and finding all the blessings in my life. And it wasn't, I'm so glad you're saying this, because it didn't feel like work. Now I need to be grateful if I want to really manifest.
Yeah.
It was more just, I'm just happy. I'm so blessed.
Yeah.
You know, and I just truly believe we are all blessed. Oh my gosh, we have so much to be grateful for. Look at where we are. Look at who we are. We're on the planet at this great time in life. And it's just, you know, if we just get excited about that, it's like let that little inner giggle start to come out. And I think that just makes it really easy for, maybe that's when the universe, as you said last week, gives you the gifts of thank you for recognizing and appreciating how wonderful, you know, this life is and this world is that we live in. So
I love what you're saying about this giggling and this laughing.
Yeah.
Because when you're in that vibration, you're not attracting anything negative, really.
Uh-huh.
There's really no negative vibe that can come into your body when you're in a place of laughter and lightness.
Right.
There's points where you can actually go deeper into a state of freedom, you know, just through doing like something like a laughing meditation, or you make it, you know, some event where you can really dive into whatever that feeling is of letting go of the seriousness around your life, your quote unquote life, you know, and thinking that this is my life instead of I'm just a drop in the ocean, you know, and there's a whole sense of separation that we don't even realize half the time that we've been conditioned by, of thinking that, you know, I have to do this. Well, you know, there's already a sense of being separate. There's this separate me who's running the show and has to, you know, pay the bills, and I'm responsible, and I'm this, and I am that. And, you know, and what's really helped me to manifest and to bring about everything that I wanted is to let go of attachment to this sense of I. Of the separate I that is perhaps not happy.
No. Right.
Because when you're happy, when you're laughing, you know, with a group of friends, you don't feel separate. There's no separate I.
Right.
There's no sense of I'm laughing and I'm separate. You know, otherwise it's not real belly pull out laughter. You know, when you're really laughing, it's like everybody is laughing in this harmonious.
There's just the silliness. Silliness at this table.
It's kind of like watching fish in the ocean. Have you ever watched them like snorkeling? Is they all turn at the same moment.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like that with a group of people. They're laughing. It's like the laughter just rises in the same moment within everyone, and it's there's this deep let go.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that joy, you know, from laughter is a real powerful tool to actually, you know, helping you to transcend all the seriousness that gets built in your life. Which is a huge block to manifesting. I would say it's one of the most secret or hidden blocks that people don't realize is there, is this seriousness behind your behind your life. And the second I would say is like an uncontrollable, incessantly chattering mind, where the mind just keeps going, and doesn't find that stillness ever.
Usually what the mind is telling us is how screwed we are instead of how blessed we are.
Yeah.
So you're right. When the mind is going, it's usually not singing and skipping along going, we're so blessed and everything's so wonderful. It's usually telling us in some insidious way how screwed you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know it, let me point it out to you.
Yeah.
I don't know, but if everybody's mind is a little bit like mine, if I really shouldn't listen to those thoughts, it's just letting me know that, I don't know if you know this, Rebecca, but you're just so screwed right now.
Mm.
And it's like, really? Oh, my gosh, I better sit up and take notice then, because, you know, I really better lower my vibration.
Like, you better be serious about your life, otherwise you're screwed.
Oh, yeah.
And that just digs you deeper into the seriousness
of
the trap.
Uh-huh.
So, I suggest really being non-serious about your dreams.
Yes.
You know, and taking them from a place of sincerity, of course, saying, you know, this is what my heart desires. Mm-hmm. You know, it's evident my heart wants this relationship or wants this career or wants this health. You know, and have that sincerity there, but completely let go of whoever it is that's attached to having to have it happen for whatever reason, to be happy or to be rich or to be satisfied or whatever, and just start relaxing into the very core essence of your being, where there's already satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's funny, like if you look at the word sat, satisfaction, you know, the word sat means truth in Sanskrit, and so it's like coming back to the truth of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And from that truth of who you are, who you truly are, this divine God source, this divine God being that you are, there is divine satisfaction.
Uh-huh.
And from that place, everything manifests for you effortlessly.
Mm-hmm.
There's no struggle, literally none.
Right.
And life actually is meant to be this joyous celebration of pleasure and love and laughter and experiencing this state of increased lightness, like always getting lighter and lighter and lighter everything.
I think not taking yourself seriously is one of the greatest ways to self-love.
Oh, absolutely.
I think just not taking your body, just like you said, having great sincerity and appreciation and acceptance, but not taking it seriously. It's just the body. It's just my emotion freaking out right now, or it's just a thought going wild, or it's whatever it is. But when we don't take ourselves, it sounds really trite, but I mean it from a very deep place, when we can really detach and not take ourselves so seriously, our situations, our experiences, our drama with somebody else, you know, if we just step back and not take it so seriously, it feels like such a gift of self-love that I know that something within me is absolutely perfect and divine and complete and enough and whole as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this outside thing that's going on is just an experience, and I don't need to take it so seriously. It's just something. It's just, you know, Gilda Radner, it's always something. It's always going to be something happening out there. Just don't take it so seriously.
No.
That feels like when I can be there, Joffrey, it's such a place of self-love.
Yeah.
And it feels like my shoulders instantly relax. And,
and you just notice, like, around your chest, you know, because around your heart chakra, that is your main connection to your spiritual center, where you can actually relax and rest and find joy and happiness all the time, so that it doesn't matter so much if your relationship works out or your career works out or your health works out.
Right.
That you don't get so attached to that because you're so relaxed into the spiritual center of your own essence, which is infinite. You know, it's your soul.
Yeah.
And you know, the science is actually getting close to actually finding it. You know, they're keep pointing there, and they're finding that we're mostly made of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's a lot of non-stuff here, more in the universe than there is stuff. And so they're really opening up that whole door that, you know, we're pretty much made of empty space. And so when you actually just think for a moment, just close your eyes and think, okay, this is just a lot of empty space around me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. It's like, how peaceful is that?
Exactly.
You know,
spacious.
Yeah, the expansive. Spaciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that place, there's the lightness.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can actually go into the world, and you can enjoy the drama. You can enjoy the play. You can enjoy the polar opposites of the high and the low of the day. And you can ride it like a wave that goes up and down. And you can be completely free of it all because you're resting in your center.
Right.
And from that resting place of knowing who you are, knowing what you want, knowing you're an infinite being that will never die, and knowing that everybody around you is an infinite being that will never die, there's a real freedom there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a freedom to really enjoy your relationships and not hold back anymore, because that's where the ego gets involved, is this whole holding back and fear and doubt and worry. And the mind just chatters and chatters and chatters around what could happen that's not going to work out, or, you know, shouldn't be this way. You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
I say all of anger, you know, in relationships starts from a should.
Uh-huh.
There's some should that you have in your mind.
Right.
They should be this way, or I should be this way.
He should know better.
Yeah, he should know better, or they shouldn't, you know, do that to the dog or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there's a whole element of, you know, attachment to this sense of I without this understanding, this connection with the spaciousness of matter, of reality,
mm-hmm.
of the actual physical world that we're in is mostly made of space. So, I mean, this is just coming from the scientists. You know, I look at myself normally as a scientist, somebody who's just really into investigating the reality of things, like the real matter behind it all, and not, you know, I'm not necessarily into beliefs as much, because beliefs can come and go. Beliefs can be squashed. They're just thoughts, you know, mixed with feelings. And they're very powerful. In fact, they're one of the most powerful things that you can use, but as far as, you know, really living a life that is completely, you know, just light and free and abundant, you know, it's really about dropping all of your beliefs, all of your attachment to your beliefs, and just knowing that these beliefs, they can come and go like the wind. And you can have one belief one day that says one really strong thing, and then the next day the opposite belief can be exactly true.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, the thing we run from is the thing we run to. So
it's
really about letting go of attachment on so many different levels and look at, what am I really attached to in my life? Mm-hmm. Like, what is that?
And challenging ourselves. You know, I know Byron Katie, I don't know if you know, she has a program called The Work. I love that. She one of the core principles of her work is, you know, whenever you run up against a belief in within yourself, to say, is that the truth?
Mm.
And really challenge that. Is that the truth?
Yeah.
You know, is it? And the more that we play with that, it's so powerful to go, no, I mean, this is the way it is. My belief says this. And then to really just question, is that the truth?
Mm.
Is that really the truth? Are they a bad guy?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. You know, and it's like really challenging and breaking that down. Where does truth lie? Like you said, it's so, you know, our beliefs can be so fleeting. And again, not taking them quite so seriously is such a place of self-love. It's just such a place of being free and being gentle with ourselves and being able to tongue-in-cheek laugh at ourselves a little bit about, gotcha, you were really attached. You really thought that one was it. And now, look at, the universe just proved you wrong, you know, and it's like, oh, how fun. I love when my mind gets challenged.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, I really would have bet on that one, you know, and then to have somebody just all of a sudden bust that all up for me, it's like, how wonderful, how fun.
Yeah.
That I'm not these beliefs, and I'm not this, you know, I'm not even my truths that I'm holding on to in this moment, because maybe my truths tomorrow will be so completely different. All of that is fun, and I think it's just that way of really coming back to the full enjoyment, and like you keep using the word, which I love, freedom. It makes life so expansive and free, and from that space there are no problems. There are no problems. There's just these circumstances that happen, and it's all good. It's all okay. They'll keep coming and going, and so this has been so very helpful. Geoffrey, I'd love for you to, we just have maybe about 5 more minutes, but I'd love for you to again tell the listeners, because you've mentioned your coaching program, and I know you have, many things going on. Can you offer to the listeners some of the things you have available to them?
Sure, yeah. If you go to enlightenedbeings.com, you'll find that we have a free enlightening email list called the Enlightened Manifestor. And so this is a whole new take on manifesting and enlightenment, combining those two. And there's a whole variety of different emails. We talk on subjects, from relationships to money to manifesting, a better career or health. Every topic has been covered over the last several years here. And it's a free list that we have as well. We also have a free meditation download on the site. There's an Enlightening e-store where you can get all these manifesting meditations. We have a money manifesting package. We have a soulmate, manifest your soulmate. There's a Kundalini awakening, how to step into samadhi, which is like a higher state of consciousness connected to the God source. There's meditations on bringing in more abundance. Okay, on more of an energetic level. So, like, how to become like a manifesting magnet. What are the basics to manifesting? So, there's tons of those meditations. We also have a 90-day manifesting program that is really powerful. We find that people that are on this program for even 3 weeks, that their whole life just turns like into this explosion of success and joy and wisdom and these revelations all the time of epiphanies of, I get it. I finally, I'm dropping out of this pit of suffering, and I'm really enjoying my life again. And that book was something that Margaret and I wrote from, we took a year to really sit down and write this book together, and just brought out so many techniques and just things you can actually experience, meditations you can sit down and do, and there's so much to do in this manual. The manifesting manual is, I think, like 270 pages, and it's just packed full of practical things that you can do to raise your manifesting vibration and to bring about what you want much easier. And we guarantee that it works, okay? That we have a money-back guarantee on it, because we know that if you actually apply these principles and these habits and you actually do what's in the manual, your vibration will start to grow. And within, we find about 30 days, you're going to see things start manifesting, and that's saying it's a long shot. So we give people 90 days, so we have a 90-day program, so you can really see things transform in your life. And those are all available for download. You can actually, wherever you are in the world, you can just click on a button and instantly have it on your computer and listen to it or read it or print it out. The e-books are available for printing, so we also have it in hard copy, too. So there's all that, and also we have manifesting meditations. Manifesting sessions that you can do personally with myself or Margot. And I also do something called Akashic Soul Readings. I used to work for a psychic hotline, and so these readings are done. Record them and send a link to download any questions you have about your life blocks and things like that. So
that's wonderful. I didn't know that. I graduated from the Berkeley Psychic Institute Clairvoyant Program. I didn't know that you had that connection. That's so wonderful.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. So that's fabulous. So anybody who wants any or all, I know Christy has done many things, and she's gotten a self-love meditation from you that she said was just fabulous. Mm. So anybody who wants more information or to order products or to order meditations or to have a session with you, just go to enlightenedbeings.com.
Yeah.
Okay, beings with an S.
Yeah, beings as in human beings.
Okay, perfect.
Instead of lima beings.
Yes, yeah, that's great. Well, thank you so much. Let me mention to everybody that Christy and I are also, I kept bringing up self-love because we are just in the midst of this. We did a teleseminar last week, and we are starting our Power of Self-Love six-week teleworkshop, I believe October 4th. And so sign-ups are filling up very, very fast. If you would like more information, you can go to either my website, which is Rebecca Grado, G-R-A-D-O, .com to learn more information about the class, or to sign up, just go ahead and go to ChristyWhitman.com. And you can also, if you have any questions, feel free to give me a call. I can be reached at area code 925-829-6745. And again, I think that getting to that place that, you know, Joffrey and I talked about today, where you're just feeling so good about everything, and I think it really begins with loving yourself and being gentle with yourself and learning to be, you know, not take yourself so seriously, but to be so just express loving kindness to yourself first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Then you can give it out into the world. And so, you know, we will really help teach you to, especially for women. This is a class for women only, sorry guys, but we'll be working on one for the gentlemen also. But really, I think women tend to be very, very hard on themselves in so many areas, from our bodies to, you know, our boyfriends to our backhand in tennis. I mean, we can be just so hard on ourselves, and I'm really looking forward to this class where we break it down and really help women learn to love themselves and learn to accept themselves as they are, where they are in this moment in time. And I think through that we become really such better manifestors because we're loving our lives and loving ourselves. So really want to throw that out there. And but most of all, oh my gosh, this hour flew by, and as always, I feel like I've learned so much, and just you are just such an enlightened being, Joffrey, and I so appreciate you being on this call with me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure, you know, it will definitely not be the last time if you're up for it.
Sure.
We'll keep you coming back as much as you are willing to.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, and I really encourage everybody out there, please visit Enlightened Being's website, and, you know, to everybody's, you know, divine self, have a great day, and thank you again, Joffrey.
Well, thank you, Rebecca.
Okay. Bye-bye, everybody.